let's take our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going through a series for the next few weeks about why we believe and what we believe. And as we sang this morning about heaven, about seeing Jesus, you know, you wonder why everybody wouldn't want to go there to heaven, why everybody wouldn't want to see Jesus. And I mean, there's no pain, there's no sorrow, there's no graveyards, no suffering, no death, no old age, no pains in the back, no Alzheimer's. Amen. I mean, why wouldn't just everybody want to go there? And there's a reason why, because there's something else that's not there that causes people not to want to go there. There's no sin there. And humanity, as they fill their lives with sin, it's not as enticing as a place to go because, I mean, there's no sin there. There's no Netflix there. Don't back up. This was an introduction. I'm not trying to. But have you thought about that? The things that entertain the flesh are not there. There are no bars there. There are no kegs on tap there. It's just not there. There's no. I heard somebody say this past week, and they didn't mean it this way. They said, you know, our country's going to pot. And I thought how true that is in more than one way. You know, there's no marijuana shops in heaven. It's just not there. Matter of fact, you can't even buy a pack of cigarettes there. You understand what I'm saying? So there's a lot of things that aren't there. You say, wow, who wouldn't want to go to heaven? Well, probably people that have involved their lives into things that they will never be able to experience there. And when your life is filled with sin, heaven's just not that interesting to you, see. But I tell you what, to those that know and love the truth and righteousness, we can't wait to see Jesus. Now, this morning we're talking about why we believe in the rapture, and you say, well, why would you even have to say that today? You know, we live in a world where the truth of the rapture and the coming of the Lord is really dying out. The Bible says that in the last days there would be mockers saying, where is the promise of His coming? And you say, well, preacher, I still know a lot of people talk about the coming of the Lord. Well, not like they used to, and I think as we get the message, you'll see why a lot of people might say they believe it, but just because you say you believe something doesn't mean it's true. And, you know, a lot of people can say they love the Lord, but that doesn't mean it's necessarily true. And the rapture, the teaching of Christ coming is either even changing. Even Baptist churches, many Baptist churches aren't really holding to the truths of the coming of the Lord as they once did. They're even changing their eschatology. That's just a fancy word saying their view of the last things. They're changing how they think about all of that. And so when we look at the Bible, we want to get our belief grounded and settled, and just because the world changes does not mean the promises of God change. And I hope that it'll help your heart this morning as we look into why we believe in the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, great familiar text in the Bible. And of course, I tell you what, go ahead and with your other hand get 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll just read both those together before we pray. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And the other text in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, would you go back there with me, please? That's where we'll pretty much stay. But the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, he says, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. So there's a lot of ignorance concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of ignorance in our world. You know, our world throws out the term Armageddon a lot, you know. And when society uses the term Armageddon, they think that, you know, the United States and China and Russia are going to get into a big fight and the bombs are going to go off and the planet's going to blow up. That has nothing to do with Armageddon. And I'll put your mind at ease that the world doesn't end that way. The whole world says, man, the world's going to end, you know, there's going to be Armageddon coming, and maybe in their minds they think some asteroid or meteorite's going to hit the world, you know, and people are worried about all that. That's not going to happen. You know why? Because God made this world, and God's going to finish this world. There are no accidents. They're not going to be, oops, there's the meteor. I forgot about that one. No, it ain't going to be anything like that. The global warming's not going to fry the planet. God is in control, and there. The world knows about the term Armageddon, but they're ignorant of it. They don't understand that the Bible says in Revelation chapter 16 that Armageddon is a battle of the world against God Almighty. That's what Armageddon is. One day all of the nations of the world, the whole world, is going to be gathered together to fight against Jesus Christ, who is coming back to this earth. That's Armageddon, and I got bad news for the world. I know who wins. You know, Jesus always wins. Now, you may not let him win in your life, but you'll be the loser. He always wins. His will ultimately will occur. But there's ignorance about what's Armageddon, you know, what's coming in the future. God tells you that there are some people that are ignorant about the Antichrist. They don't know that the Antichrist is coming. Your whole world, you say, preacher, why? Why? I turn on the news and it's wow, and why have things changed so much in 20 years or 30 years, and where are things heading? Why is our world so crazy? Because our world is living under the spirit of Antichrist, and the Antichrist is going to appear. I'm glad I'm going to be gone, but the Antichrist is going to appear, and this whole world is going to believe into that lie. This whole world is headed to be on the same page. But you know, before all the world can be on the same page, the Christians have got to get out of the way. But you know what? God's going to help them with that. See, the world thinks they're going to get rid of the Christians. No, God's going to, he's going to take the Christians away. He's going to take the church out. So there's a lot of ignorance. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. There's ignorance about the fact that Jesus Christ will literally reign for 1,000 years on this earth. That phrase is mentioned 6 times in Revelation chapter 20. In case, so you would know, 1,000 years is the reign of Jesus Christ. He said that he would have the throne of his father David that was prophesied. That's in Jerusalem. And from Jerusalem, Jesus will rule the world after the Antichrist, after Armageddon's through, and he'll rule for 1,000 years. But now, we as the church, we're not looking for the Antichrist. We're not looking for Armageddon. We're not even looking for the 1,000-year reign of Jesus. The Bible lets us know as the church, we are looking for Jesus to appear, like we read tonight, this morning, to just appear in the clouds. Because the coming of the Lord is like this. And if you just think just a minute, you can understand. Because some people, they're amillennialists and they're postmillennialists, or they don't believe in the rapture and all this stuff. And because they don't understand the clear wording of Scripture, the Bible talks about Jesus coming. Listen, Jesus coming for us. And then the Bible talks about Jesus coming with us. Now look, you can't come with somebody that you first didn't come for. You understand what I'm saying? When Jesus Christ puts his feet upon this earth, he's coming with us. All right? But there, he's got to get all of us off of this earth before he can come with us. You understand? So the Bible talks about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for us in the air. Okay? And then the Bible talks about the Lord Jesus Christ coming with us to the earth. That's the separation of understanding of the coming of the Lord. And there's 7 years in between that. A lot of people are ignorant of that fact. They don't understand the difference. And they don't understand that there's coming a judgment time upon this world. So number one, there's great ignorance. There's great ignorance of the fact of what it means that Jesus is coming. And these truths that we're reading this morning have to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his church, for us. And we ought to be, now you said, preacher, I believe that. But you know, there's still a lot of Christians that say they believe that and they're still ignorant of that. You say, what do you mean? Because you cannot be theologically ignorant, but you can be practically ignorant. Let me tell you what I mean. You can live your life and never think about the fact that he's coming. I guarantee you, when I got in trouble as a little boy, and my mother looked at me and she said, okay, your dad's coming home in about 2 hours. You know what I did? I didn't just go live happily ever after. Those were the worst 2 hours of my life. Anybody can agree with me on that? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Rest of you should have been, amen, should have been spanked as a child or something. But I mean, he's coming home, and I'm going to have to see him. And oh, it impacted, you know what, from that on, I don't know why, it's sort of stupid, isn't it? From that minute on, I was the perfect child. Well, you know, too late, you know what I mean? I mean, it's not like I'm going to be, I don't know what was wrong with the brain of a young child. Okay, maybe if I'm just really good, maybe all this will turn out. No, it's already done. He's coming home. But it changed the way I acted. Now listen, we can be practically ignorant of the fact that Jesus is coming because we don't think about him coming and we really don't believe he's coming today, or we would not do what we do and we would not live how we live. I guarantee you, there are Christian people that are just as saved as you are that are not in church this morning, but if they knew that Jesus Christ was coming this morning, they would be in church. But they don't believe he's coming this morning, or they wouldn't have stayed in bed. So you understand what I say about believe? Look at 1 John chapter 3. I'll show it to you. 1 John chapter 3 tells us about, you can be sitting right here and say, preacher, I'm an independent Baptist. I believe in the rapture of the church. If you aren't purifying your life, if you're not living a clean life, you don't believe no such of a thing, if I can use my southern expression. You say, sure, I believe Jesus is coming. That's not what the Bible says. Because you can be practically ignorant and go through your life convincing yourself, well, he's not coming today, so I'll do this, that, and the other thing. I guarantee you, you would change a lot of things you do if you believe Jesus was coming. 1 John chapter 3, the Bible says this, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that, here's the rapture, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now look at verse 3. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. If you aren't watching for the coming of Jesus Christ, if you are not waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for you, if you are not expecting it, if you are not praying for it, if you don't love his appearing, if you are not purifying yourself, if you are not living like he could come today, you are in ignorance of the coming of Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, there's a lot of saved people that they live their lives in ignorance of the fact that Jesus could come today. And it'd be like me, you know. It'd be like my mother saying to me, you know, your dad's coming home. And if I didn't believe that, you know what I'd do? I'd continue to be the biggest brat in the house. Come on now, listen to me. If I was not convinced he was coming home, I would continue my foolishness. Why do God's children continue their foolishness? Because they don't believe that He's really coming. They don't believe that they could see Him today and have to answer to the one that saved them and gave His life for them. So the Bible says don't be ignorant. So number one, I would say to you, go back to our text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says this in 1 Thessalonians 4. Why do we believe in the rapture? Look at verse 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Why do we believe in the rapture? Because we believe the word of the Lord. We believe the Bible. I've had people mock that. Say, oh, you believe all that? Yeah, I believe all that stuff because that's what He said. You mean people are going to walk around and all of a sudden they're just going to pop up in the air? That's what He said. I believe everything He says. Why do we believe in the rapture? I'll tell you a second reason. This is not a very difficult message, but it ought to impact your life. Would you look at verse 13? 1 John, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, the Bible says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no... What's that word? You know why we believe in the rapture? Not just because we believe the Bible, but we also believe in the rapture because we need hope. We need hope. You know, we have a hopeless society. We have people that live their lives, no matter what they say they believe, and they just have a hopeless existence. They have no hope for anything. And Jesus Christ gave us the promise of His return for us to receive us unto Himself up in the clouds, to give us hope so that when I go to the graveyard and I lay somebody in the ground before the sun goes down, that body could arise and I could be caught up as well. It's a hope in my heart, you see. As the Bible said, we read it in 1 John chapter 3, every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself. What's your hope? You know, there's a lot of disappointment in life. You know, a lot of people wrap their hopes and dreams up in their career. And then it can come crashing down. You know, praise God, God's really blessing America right now. We've got good jobs in this area. I mean, there are jobs everywhere and people, prosperity's here. You know how fast that can change? That can change on a dime, literally. Now, if your hope is wrapped up in your good job, what's going to happen if you don't have it? Or what happens if you lose your health and you can't work anymore? And you're debilitated. If you wrap your hopes up in things, you're going to be very disappointed. You say, well, I've got my hopes wrapped up in my family relationships. That can be very disappointing too, can it? You know where God says our hope is? Man, I can see Jesus today. You know, I've never met a despondent, discouraged, depressed Christian that was looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. I just haven't. They're just happy. I mean, some older people I used to pastor, man, they'd have a smile, you know, from earlobe to earlobe. But sometimes it would frustrate me. I said, man, why? You can't be that happy all the time. Why are you just so full of joy all the time? And they'd grab my hand and say, Jesus could come today, preacher. You know why? They're looking for the Lord. They've got hope in their heart. Today could be the day. You say, preacher, I had that hope of before and it didn't come today. Yeah, but it's real. And that hope that we have, Christ who is our hope, one day shall appear. Do you believe it could be today? If you really believe it could be today, there's not a problem that you have today that would not be solved with the coming of Jesus Christ for you. Is that not right? Hey, amen. I'd leave my mortgage to the Antichrist. Hallelujah. Leave my bills to them, right? Whatever your health issues are, whatever problems you've got, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it's all gone. So why do we not look for, as Titus tells us, chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you wake up this morning looking for Jesus, or did you wake up this morning looking at your problems? Did you wake up this morning turning on the news and hearing all the bad stuff? Jesus says, I got news for you, I'm coming. I've heard that all my life. Yeah, and one of these days, people that have heard that all their life are going to wake up that morning and they'll not go to bed that night. Amen. And one of these days, all those scriptures being read at those graveside. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a minister reading at the graveside, you know, reading, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and bang, there they go. But, and you watch that. Look, that doesn't happen simultaneously. The dead in Christ rise, what does it say? First. Wow. Bang! Here they go. Are you next? Are you next? Is it going to happen right? Are you going to take off right after them? Somebody said, why the dead in Christ rise first? Because they got a few more feet to go than we do. You know, I've heard that before. But the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And there ought to be hope in our hearts. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, listen, church, listen. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And that's the same chapter about that glorious rapture that we're going to have, you see. For what is our hope, he said in this epistle of 1 Thessalonians 2. In verse 19, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? You see, we lose hope because we wrap our hopes in things that can never give us any hope. Every relationship that you have on this earth one day will end. I hate to say that. That's just true. It'll end somehow, some way. Every wonderful thing that we love to wrap up, it's going to stop. But that blessed hope that Jesus is coming and I will see Him and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is real hope. You say, preacher, what happens after the rapture? Well, whatever happens, I'm going to be with Jesus. Wherever He is, that's where I'll be. What a hope that is for my heart. Why do we believe in the rapture? Because we need hope. Galatians 5:5 says this, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. You ever said, I hope it won't always be like this? You ever said that? Boy, I sure hope this changes or I get over this. Praise God that He's given us a hope that everything is not always going to be like this. And things are going to change. And you know what the biggest change is going to be? Righteousness. We wait for that hope of righteousness, which is by faith. In other words, one day I'm not always going to be like this. Praise God. One of the greatest hopes I have is one of these days my brain will quit thinking like it's thinking now. One of my greatest hopes is, man, one of these days the things that pass through my heart are going to quit passing through my heart. One of these days I'm going to be like Jesus. Our text that we read in 1 John chapter 3. When we shall see Him, we shall be like Him, the Bible says. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies and fashion it like unto His glorious body. My hope is that one day I will be everything God wants me to be, and I will be everything I want to be, but I fall short in. He's going to change me, and the rapture is going to do that. The rapture is going to do that for living saints. It's going to do that for those that are dead in Christ. Those bodies that have decayed and buried. You see, it gives us hope that we'll have a new body. We'll have a new life. Is that the hope? Look, I don't know about you. Man, I get tired of working even on my body. You can tell Gary's laughing at me. Don't be ugly now. You're not working hard enough on it. You know, you work on that old body, and the harder you work on it, you just got more work to do. But do you feel like that way sometime in your spiritual life? You know what the rapture is? It's the hope that one day everything will be perfected. Everything will be just like Jesus. Why aren't we, look, instead of being sold on a diet pill or a self-help plan or some, you know, self-improvement thing, if we would get our eyes on Jesus, who will really change the way things are when He comes, that would be our hope. Have you said to the Lord
this week. Lord, I want you to come this week. If that's not been the way your heart is, no wonder you don't have any hope. Look at the last verse of that chapter in 1 Thessalonians 4. He says, wherefore, what does he say? Comfort one another with what? With these words. You know why a lot of people don't have comfort? They don't believe. Their hope, their dreams, their hearts aren't wrapped up in the fact that Jesus is coming. So they don't have any comfort. I'm comforted to know that I have a hope in Christ that He's going to appear and take me out of this world and catch me up into heaven and change everything about me. And I'm not going to sorrow. I have sorrow, but I'm not going to have sorrow as others who have no hope, because I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the uppertaker. And this could be the day. Focus, 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 focus. Jesus is coming. So easy to go through life and not focus on your real hope. Why do we believe in the rapture? Because we believe the Bible. Why do we believe in the rapture? Because we need hope. Why do we believe in the rapture? Because we're promised that body that's just like Jesus Christ. But there's another reason. Would you look at 1 Thessalonians again? 1 Thessalonians, he says in chapter 1, verse 10, watch this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. He says, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We believe in the rapture because we believe in the promise of God that we will be saved from the wrath to come. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Those verses 13 to 18 describe the rapture of the church. But look at the very next verse in chapter 5 and verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, look at it, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor the darkness. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Would you look at verse 9? For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He says there's coming a day of great destruction in this world, but the good news for the church of the living God is that we are saved from the wrath to come. We have not been appointed to that wrath. God's going to remove us before the devil totally gets a hold of this world. You say, it looks really bad. You wait till the devil really gets a hold of this world. But when he does, I'll be gone. Why do I believe in the rapture? Because I believe in an escape from this world's judgment that God's going to bring down on this world. That ought to help your heart. This world's falling apart, and God says, I'm going to take you out of here before it really falls apart. Thank you, Jesus. So why am I going to get bent out of shape? I know He's going to take me. We're going to have problems in this world, but before it gets too bad, I'm going to leave. You say, how can it be much worse? I'll read it to you. Look at Revelation 6. These are things that people are ignorant of. You say, preacher, why do we believe in the rapture? Because we don't want to go through Revelation 6, 7, 8, and 9. That's why. There are people that are saved, even some Baptist people that think they're going to go through the tribulation period. If you want to do that, you help yourself. I'm leaving. I have not been appointed to that wrath. I've been saved from that wrath. Bible says in Revelation chapter 6, here are these horsemen, they call them, of the apocalypse, and what's coming on this earth. Probably not going to be too long in the future. The Bible said in Revelation 6, verse 4, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. You said, preacher, it looks like peace is already from the earth. Are you crazy? I got up this morning and I went to the refrigerator. This morning I got in my car and came to church and nobody tried to kill me. You said, preacher, it's such a not a peaceful world. Are you kidding me? Did you sleep last night without bombs going off all around your house? Well, sure you did. But there's coming a day where peace will be removed and every man and every nation will be fighting one with another. Verse 4, and that to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Verse 5. Here's a black horse, he says in verse 5. And look at verse 6, what happened? I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. There's coming great famine. You know, you ought to thank, you ought to just stop and say, God, thank you that I'm saved from the wrath to come, because I got to eat today. And when I went to the grocery store, there was plenty of food. And the wheat's still growing and the corn's still growing, amen. And there's plenty there. You can look at us and tell there's plenty there. Right? There's coming a day all of it's going to dry up. Why do I believe in the rapture? So I can be saved from that wrath to come. He said in verse 7, here comes another beast, another rider. Verse 8 says, and I looked, behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. I tell you what, when people are not only dying because of hunger and sword, but all the beasts come out and start killing people, that what a day that's going to be. He said it's going to be so terrible. Would you look at verse 12? And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. You said, preacher, I hear about all these earthquakes, the coming of the Lord. Are you kidding me? This earthquake, the world doesn't even know what an earthquake is when God's judgment falls upon this world. And the Bible says the moon is going to become as blood, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. Verse 13, the stars of heaven fell on the earth. Even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of the mighty wind. You tell me how people are going to be shook up when stars start falling to the ground. You said you believe that? I believe every word of that. The Bible said in verse 14, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty men, and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And I believe in the rapture because I've been saved from that wrath. Look at chapter 8. Just keep reading here. Oh, the world's got much bigger problems than who wins the election this year. I bet you when the stars start falling from heaven and the islands start moving away and the sun's turned to blackness, I bet they'll forget about their transgender change. They'll have bigger things to deal with. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood and were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up. And all, look at that, all green grass was burnt up. That means a lot of animals are fixing to die. Verse 8, and the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire cast in the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. I wonder what that'll do to the waters. Verse 9, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. Can you imagine one third of all marine life dying? You talk about a stench. You talk about a catastrophe. And here we got all these fake catastrophes. Oh, the world's going to stop in 10 years. You're a moron. A third of the animals in the oceans aren't dead yet. That's just the beginning. He said, on down, the third part of the ships are destroyed. Verse 10, and the third angel sounded and fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers. Now it hits the fresh water. And upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many died of the waters because they were made bitter. And then the Bible says in verse 12, fourth angel sound, third part of the sun was smitten, third part of the moon, third part of the stars, third part of them was darkened, the day shone not for third part of it. I wonder how cold it's going to get when third of the sun goes out. If that wasn't up, you know what happens in chapter 9? God opens up the bottomless pit. I won't even read it for you. God opens up the bottomless pit, out come a bunch of devils and start stinging men and tormenting them. And the Bible says in verse 6, in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from. It's pretty bad when people try to commit suicide and they can't even do it because of the judgment of God. Read chapter 16 and you'll find a whole lot more stuff that's going to happen. You say, preacher, why you say that? I say that because this world ought to be scared to death of what's coming to this world. But they're not. You know why? They don't believe it. They don't believe in the coming of the Lord. But now you and I are supposed to believe it. And our hearts should be warmed and our hearts should be comforted because I'm saved from that wrath. I give you the last thing and I'm done. Would you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Why, preacher, do we believe in the rapture of the church? Well, because we believe the Bible. And because we need hope. And because we're promised that body like Jesus, and that's how we get it. And because God has a way of saving us from the wrath to come. And then look verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We believe in the rapture because we all want to go home to God together, you see. We want to all be together. There's coming a great homecoming day. And God's just not going to do this piecemeal when the rapture takes place. All the living saints and all the dead saints, we're all going to get up together, you see, as God's church and God's son, and we'll be with him forever. And what a homecoming. Don't you get tired of saying bye? Don't you get tired of the separation? The Bible says he beseeches us in 2 Thessalonians by our gathering together. It keeps us all together is what I'm saying. God wants his people to be together. And he has that rapture whereby we have the victory together. But there's a problem. I'm finished. He says in verse 14, for, what's that next word? If. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. You see, there's a condition. You say, preacher, I want to go. Well, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again. You see, that's the gospel. The gospel that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose from the dead according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. And if we believe, we'll be a part of that number. But there's going to be a host of people to be left. And I'm not talking about believing in your head. I'm talking about the Bible says that thou shalt believe in your heart. Have you ever believed on Christ? You say, preacher, you're trying to scare me? I'd be glad to scare you. I don't want you to go to hell. Right. Nobody goes in that rapture unless they believe that Jesus died and rose again from their heart. Right. You can either get right or you can get left. You say, preacher, I heard about all those Left Behind movies and nobody listens to that and watches that anymore. Mm-hmm. There is going to be a multitude of people left behind. If it happens right now, would... You say, all those Bible believers are just trying to scare the world. If Jesus Christ would come right now in the clouds and catch us away, there would be somebody still sitting in the pew. I don't know who's saved. I can't see your heart. But if Jesus Christ were to catch away his people in the clouds, as he said, we'll be caught up together with him in the clouds. If that happened today, there would be somebody in here, I don't know who, somebody wouldn't go. You know why? Because you've not believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the if of the rapture. You going? Are you going?